I want to know that Jesus never fails. Turn again, please, tonight to Colossians. This is the Paul to the Colossians. One of these wonderful books in the Word. Now, you remember we said at the beginning of this series that in the first two chapters, actually right down to chapter 3, verse 4, we have the doctrinal part of Colossians. And then when you come to last two chapters, we have the practical. I think it was C.H. Spurgeon that says that this chapter we're coming to tonight, chapter 3, starts in heaven and ends up in the kitchen. And that's true. Let's then read from verse 1 of chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of the children of disobedience, in the which ye also once walked when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. May God bless to us the reading from his holy word. Now in this part before tonight, the first section of it, verse 1 to 4, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer's object in life. What a wonderful portion. As we said, we're beginning in heaven here. This morning, we had a talk on some of these wonderful positional things we have from verses 9 and on down to verse 15 as to the fullness of Christ. Oh, we enjoyed that. I don't know if you did, but I did. I enjoyed this portion. And if you enjoy something yourself, then usually others will enjoy it too. And then we have these warnings. But now we come into the highest truth again. And if ye should really read, since ye be risen with Christ, there's no question here. A believer, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in Christ, you're raised in him, you're risen with him. That's our position. And Paul is here, may I say, in verse 1, he's giving them a reminder. In chapter 2, verse 20, you remember, we read this, wherefore ye be dead with Christ. But we're not only dead with him, we're also raised with him. A reminder. You know, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is a great truth. The resurrection, may I say, is the proof of our acceptance in Him. He died for our offenses, but He was raised again, says Paul in Romans 4:25, for our justification. The proof of our acceptance. We're raised in Him, accepted in the Beloved, seated in Him, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. That's our position. Aye, the position of the believer in the Lord Jesus. Then, also according to the resurrection, as we had in Colossians 2, 11 and 12, and in Romans 6, the resurrection is also the pattern for our holy life. We have died with Him, and henceforth we are also risen with Him, that we should live in newness of life, Paul said. That's what the symbol of baptism means, isn't it? We're raised with Him to live in newness of life. Then, of course, the resurrection is also the power. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the same mighty power working in us. Ephesians 1:19-22 brings that out. And then the resurrection is a promise of our resurrection as well. It says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. We die with Him, we shall also be raised with Him. Christ the first fruits in 1 Corinthians, and then we that are His and His coming. And the resurrection is also a wonderful pledge to our life hereafter. He's there. We're there in Him. But physically we're here on these lovely, wonderful days that will be laid on. The Lord Jesus is going to come. And we're going to be taken up with Him. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. All this has been accomplished through that. Now he says, since you have risen with Christ, what's the, may I say, the request here? He reminds us we're raised with Christ. Then the request is, look, verse 1 and 2. Seek those things which are above. That's number one. Number two, in verse 2, set your affection or your mind. The translation there, I believe, is the mind. Set your mind on things above. Seek those things which are above. Why do we have to be continually minded about this? Because we are here in a material world. We have material bodies. We're living in bodies of flesh. We have the old depraved nature in us as well as the new nature. And God, by His Spirit, through His Word, has continually reminded us, seek the things of above. This is not your home. We're only pilgrims and strangers here, says the Word of God. Our real home in heaven. All our treasures should be laid up in heaven. Now He says, seek those things of above. That's where your life is. That's where Christ is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart be also. If Christ is our treasure, that's where our heart will be. Stands to reason, doesn't it? Seek those things that are above. In contrast from what you have in Philippians 3:19, let me read that to you. About these folks are the enemies of the cross of Christ, it says there, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite or their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. That's the contrast. These that will bring against grace to the gospel. The believer, our real desire, our seeking is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you, was the promise of the Savior. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. We have no certain dwelling place here. We are just pilgrims passing through. That's why we need to seek the things that are above. And then secondly, set your mind. As a man thinking in his heart, says the Lord Jesus, so is he. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. Now he says, set your mind on things above. I think of the lovely some lovely verses back in Philippians. Back in Philippians, please. Chapter 2, verse 2. There's many, many more verses I'm going to mention to you. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the type of a mind to have. Chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. For whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, think about these heavenly things. Chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think. Set your mind on these things. Think on these things. And all the Lord Jesus, He's altogether lovely. Think upon Him. Be occupied with Him. Meditate upon Him. Set your affection and things about. And then we have in verse 3 the reason. What's the reason for this? To remind us, we're raised with Him. The request, set your affection and things about. Set your mind up there. The reason is you're dead. We saw that this afternoon. And we are circumcised with that circumcision which is not made by hands of our Lord Jesus. That flesh has been cut off. We've been cut off from the whole old world system, the old life. What interest does a dead person have in the things of this world, actually? You're dead. Oh, we're going to enter the truth of these scriptures. We're dead. Dead to the things of time and sense in that sense, the things of this world system. We're dead. Crucified. There's an end to that. What interest does a dead corpse have in other, in so many things that we're interested in? If a man is really dead, you can't insult him. You can't hurt his feelings. And a wonderful truth went into, we are dead. We're cut off from all this. Just like in the circumcision in the Old Testament, the flesh was cut off at the Sabbath. So we cut off persistently from all this. You're dead. But oh, he goes on to something more wonderful in verse 3, the second part of it. You're dead and your life is hidden. Oh, this is tremendous. It's hidden where? With Christ in God. This is the realization that we need to enter into. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, please. He raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. We're hidden with God, with Christ in God. And the thought hidden here has to do, the thought behind it is permanently hidden. And it includes secrecy. Shut in with Him. Hidden from the view of man. Hidden from hurt and harm. And it also speaks of security, safety. We have all this in this wonderful place where we're hidden. My, we're linked so with the Lord. It's just wonderful. I'd like for you to turn, please, to John 17 in the Lord's wonderful high priestly prophetic prayer there. John 17, verse 21 to 23. And see the intimate relationship that we are to enter into and enjoy. The Lord Jesus is praying in verse 21 that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Did you ever see anything more wonderful than this? Hidden with Christ in God. All in one bundle of love. My dear believer, my dear brother and sister, what God not has procured for each one of us is wonderful. That's why he's giving these practical exhortations to realize what this wonderful realization. Romans 8 brings out some wonderful things too. You know them. All safety in Christ, do hidden away in him. Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Why, he names everything, and in case you undoubt something, and he says, when he names everything, all principalities and powers, none of these things can separate us, nor any other creature, and separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, hidden away. That's why we're to seek the things of God. Oh, may we be a spiritual, heavenly-minded people that's minding the things of God. Let the very dead bear the dead, as it were, and let us go on in the things of God. And then we have the revelation in verse 4. You are dead, he says in verse 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God, but when Christ, now listen, who is our life shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now this has to do with the second aspect of the Lord's coming. The Lord Jesus comes first for the church. He comes into the air. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout of the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall be raised, and we which are alive, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. But this is speaking about his revelation. When we shall appear with him. When we shall come with him to reign. The word is found in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13. Let me read it to you. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be poured unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Have to do with the revelation of the Lord's coming. Listen to what it says. And to you, who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in his revelation from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. That's when we're going to appear with him. This is not our reigning day, friends. That was the problem with the Corinthians, you remember, the carnal. What to God we did reign with you, says Paul, but it wasn't a reigning time. Paul and his associates, they were completely ostracized and persecuted and everything else. For the reigning time hadn't come yet. You're reigning, he said. But this is not the reigning time. This is a day of rejection. But when Jesus shall be revealed, we're going to be revealed with him. All day is coming. We're linked to a victorious Christ. You have more about this. Revelation 19, but we won't turn to that now. I have a lot before me here. The next three messages, I'll never get through this book unless we move on. We could spend all this message on these four verses here because there's lot to put before us. But I want to go on now as to the second part of the book, the practical part, and I've put all this as heading spiritual power. And first you have, in verses 5 to 12, the medium of spiritual power first stated negatively, put off. Then it stated positively, put on. And then in verses 3 to 16, you have the means of spiritual power. And then in verses 3, 18 to 4, 1, you have the measurement of spiritual power. How can you measure how spiritual a person is? Measure him at home. The relationship between husband and wife. The relationship between parents and children. The relationship between servants and masters. That's how you measure the spirituality of a man. How does he function in all these everyday all these things that come up in everyday life. And then in the last section of this practical, chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, rather, there you have the must of spiritual power. And then the last one is the marvels. The marvels of spiritual power, Paul named 12. 12 different individuals that are the marvels of God's spiritual power. Why is it a wonderful book? But notice now, the medium of spiritual power, it starts with mortify. That means put to death. That's the first thing. Now because of what he has just stated in these first four verses, now he comes right down to the everyday things of Christian living, and he says first, put to death. That is the flesh. The old man in Adam. We're to reckon him dead, says Paul in Romans. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then, along with putting to death, he gives a plain description of these evils. And I might say, in the negative part, there's 10 things listed. And in the positive part of what you put on, there's also 10 things listed. There's that balance. Negative and positive. Sometimes we say, oh, you've got to preach all positive preaching. The Bible teaches both. There's a balance. And there's a balance of force right here. Negative, positive. Put off or put to death. And then the plain description of these evils. Number one is fornication. Speaks of unfaithfulness. Immorality. Should never be among God's people. There's much of this sin going on in our day. Uncleanness means anything considered impure, unclean, and we're living in a filthy, filthy world today. All the filth all around us. But the believer is to put off all this uncleanness. Then, inordinate affection. That means lustfulness. Anything wicked. Anything wicked. Or ungovernable affection. Put to death. Covetousness next. Lustfulness, yes. Evil covetousness, which is idolatry. And you know what idolatry really is? It's the worship of self. And it's such a terrible sin. That's what it boils right down to. And the Lord Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Covetousness, which is idolatry. When you want something for yourself, something someone else has, and you think about yourself, and it's idolatry, and you know idolatry was a sin for which anyone were caught in Israel, guilty of this sin, they were stoned to death. Covetousness, which is idolatry. That's the plain description of these. And then in verse 6, there's the punishment for the disobedient, for which things think the wrath of God. No, think of the wrath of God. God who spared not the angels of sin, but he brought them down into darkness to be reserved in chains unto the day of judgment. God spared not the old world of sin, but overthrew them with a flood. God spared not the cities of the plain in the days of Lot, but destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone rained down from heaven. As a warning to the children of disobedience. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, may I warn you, if God spared not the angels, and God spared not the people in the days of Noah, and God spared not the people in the plain, and God spared not even his own nation Israel, but scattered them when they sinned like he said he would. And furthermore, when the Lord Jesus Christ took your place and my place for our sins, and he hung them Calvary's cross, the word of God said he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Why do you think he'll spare you? Warning. For which things seek the wrath of God? Anyone that's guilty, and the reason people do this sin because, as we said before, they're sinners. People sin because they're sinners at their nature. Because we do these things does not make us sinners. We do them because we are sinners. But thank God Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what he came for. Then you have the path described again in verse 7. We have already listed five things here. Now it's five more. And these, in verse 7, pardon me, in these, in the which ye also once walked when you lived in them. Pardon me, this is the path described. And when I think of the path described, which you have before us in verse 5 and then down in verse 8 rather, when you think of these 10 terrible things, there's one thing this brings to me, friends, for as we read here, in the which ye also once walked. This was your path when you lived in them, the marvelous grace of God and the power of God. God could take such a low-down sinner that's guilty of all these vile sins. That's what he says here. In the which he also sometimes lived. You lived in that. And now here they are in Christ. Accepted in the Beloved. Isn't the grace of God wonderful? And isn't the gospel powerful? That's why Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. He could take poor lost sinners, degraded sinners like that, and transform them into saints. That's what the gospel can do. What he can do for you tonight if you're not saved. And then he goes on to list these next five, these present, keeps on with this present is hoping. Notice what he says in verse 8, but now ye ought to put off. It's like taking off some of these garments, putting off disrobing. Wrath. What does wrath mean? It's a sudden outburst of feeling. And if it's not dealt with, my friend, it'll develop into the next one. Anger will develop into wrath. Put off anger. Wrath. Anger been hidden very long and not dealt with. They confess. It'll develop into that sin of wrath. And wrath, as it stores and it grows in you, it'll lead on to make for malice, maliciousness. Will you go out and you really do something wrong or harm to the one you're anger and wrath against? And then, it produces on to blasphemy. And that word blasphemy is slander. Become malicious and you start slandering your brethren and your sisters and the ungodly, they slander God. Slander is an awful thing. If we get time, we'll make a little more about that slander. And still the communication of your mouth. should never be named among us become a Satan, says another place. Like a fellow one time, to other couple of ladies there, since there's no ladies there, I want to tell you a little story. One of the men said, well, the Lord is present. That ended the storytelling. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Person disrobing. And then it goes on to say, lie not one to another. This terrible thing of lying. A little girl with that, what's the worst? Lying or stealing? Well, she says lying. She said, why? Well, if you said if you steal something, you can take it back, but when you lie, you can't take that back. It spreads all over. And that's the truth. When you slander someone, you lie about someone, you can't take it back. And like that woman you met with a long tongue. The preacher took her, and she felt sorry about it. The Lord convicted about it, so he took her up in the top of the steeple of this country church. And gave her a big bag of feathers on a windy day and said, empty it out. She did. She said, I'm going to gather them all up. So that'd be impossible. So it's impossible to gather up all these lies you've told. Lie not one to another. Or about one another either. Put off the old man with his deed. That's so much better. What a pleasant disposition to have, to put on the new man. What's that? Created in God in righteousness. Created after the Lord Jesus, who's renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, friend, this is the secret, to put on the Lord Jesus, to make no provision for the flesh. Remember with the Lord Jesus, then marvel the gracious word that proceeded out of his mouth. In all, in everything, he was so lovely, as we'll see it, as it's stated, in a positive way. And then in verse 11, you have a persistent declaration here. He says, whether it's either Greek nor Jew, the natural is done away with, neither, in verse 11, circumcision or uncircumcision, religious barriers are all gone. Barbarian or Scythian, the racial barrier is all gone. Bondman or freeman, the natural is all gone. But what? Christ is all in all. This is it. I tell you this, when Christ is all in all to each one of us, all these other things, they go away. Sometimes people of different nationalities, they like to, they become clannish, you know. But there's a far closer bond than any nationality. Or any kind of club you can belong to, any organization you can belong to, the closest of all is that bond that Christ has made. The bond of Calvary. Knit together, one in him. Christ is all in all. So this is the negative means of power. Putting to death. Mortify the death. Putting off all these old wickedness. Because there's punishment for these. The past was discarded. And this present of over. Even as a Christian, there shouldn't be anger, or wrath, or malice, or all these things in a Christian life need to be put off. Instead, we ought to be renewed in the knowledge after the image of him. Then very briefly, look at the positive side, and I'll run that through very, very quickly. What does he say here? Put on, verse 12. The first thing he says to put on here is like putting on a new clothing. The positive, put on what? Bowels of mercy. That means emotions of pity, a heart of compassion, deep fellow feeling. Oh, we're living in a day when everybody's so selfish and so everyone is sort of cut off from other because of all the convenience we have. We don't sort of need one another hardly. We're not to live unto ourselves. We're to have these bowels of mercy, these emotions of pity, a And then kindness, the second one, speaks of benevolence. And the Lord Jesus is a perfect example of this. He was so kind. Kind to the little children. Suffer the little children to come unto me. He was kind to the unfortunate, the leper. He touched the leper and he healed them. He fed the hungry. He was kind. The law of kindness was in his mouth as we read. Then humbleness of mind. That's the opposite to pride. I'm saying this is a good cap to put on your head. A cap we all need. Oh, true humility is something that's rare. It's something we're not aware of when we have. The moment a person becomes aware of his humility, it's gone. Humbleness of mind. The meekness. Moses is the meekest man upon earth, it says. The Lord Jesus has taken my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. Now we need this meekness. Now meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength held in perfect control. That's what the word meekness means. All we need is meekness. Meekness. There's so much said about meekness. And we should seek it, it says in Zechariah 3, about the will to seek meekness. And there's something else about it. It makes us receptive that you might receive the engrafted word. It says with meekness, James 1, 21. We spoke about that this morning, about how we hear. We receive the word of God, not the word of man, but the word of God, with meekness. And then there's the word long-suffering, number 5. This means it bears with resentment and revenge. The Lord Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Long-suffering, willing to bear grief and suffering wrongfully, without any resentment. How we need this as we are among one another. And then forbearing, that means to put up with each other. Do you ever find it too hard to put up with other folks? Or was it good to put up with each other, forbearing? Someone said when you get married or go into any Christian fellowship, you should take 2 bears with you. Bear and forbear. Take them in and you'll be all right. It'll be marriage or Christian fellowship. And then forgiveness. Forgiving. In verse 13. We're not only to forbear, but to forgive one another. To what extent? Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. There's no limit. Peter said to the Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times? And the Lord says, not up to 7 times, 70 times 7. Keep on forgiving. And then there's the girdle that holds it all together in the verse 14. And above all these things, put on love. In the old days, they wore this girdle around to keep things in order, you know, all these other. And that's what the love does. It puts, keeps all these things in the right thing. Put on love. Love is such a wonderful thing. Love never fails. Verse 13. Everything else will fail. Faith and hope is going to give away when we get to glory, but love will pervade heaven. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The first mention of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Then this, in verse 15, and that the peace and the word that should be of Christ, the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. My peace I give unto you, said the Lord Jesus, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He gives the peace that the world knows nothing about, the world cannot begin, and the world, thank God, cannot take away. Oh, have peace. The peace of God. Every Christian has peace with God. But I'm afraid many Christians do not know what it is to have the peace of God. their worries, their troubles. They're not resting in Christ. They're carrying their own burdens. Like someone says, why trust when you can worry? Some people tend to be made up of a nature, unless they worry, they're not happy. Rest, peace. And then the last and the top one here, and with this one I'm going to stop. Remember, there's so much about this, and that's why one of the reasons why the Lord laid this book upon my heart, that for this Thanksgiving conference, and be ye thankful. That's the top again. And you get down to the end of the next one, in verse 16 to 17, that's the, I'm not going into that tonight, but I'll just mention this in passing, as the means of power, in verse 17 again, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That was the top one again. All through this thanksgiving. Now these are the things to put on. And as we said before, a thankful Christian, a Christian is giving thanks all the time, you find out there's not much time to grumble. If I could sing tonight, I would sing to you, oh, leave your house and grumbling street and dwell on Sunshine Square. That's a great leap. In everything give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we just to always have something good to play, but before we say, but let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. All loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for our glorious Lord. We thank Thee that in Him dwell at all the fullness of God. And we are filled full in Him. Oh, we thank Thee that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank Thee that all we need is in the Lord Jesus. Now, since we are risen with Him, may we indeed, each one of us here, seek the things that are above. May we set our mind on the things that are above. May we indeed put off all these awful things and put on this lovely garment we've been reading about tonight, that our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified and be magnified in these bodies of ours. Dismiss us now thy blessing. We thank thee for this time together. O God, by thy Spirit, apply thy holy word to our hearts that we may live it out in our everyday living. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.